When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This crowd rises to its feet.
Vaccaro slammed it home.
Darwin left wing. Three ball.
Perfect.
Darwin toward the lane. Locked. The Mobley pow.
And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Chaos Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Support for this podcast is presented by FuboTV. Watch over 100 channels of live sports and TV for half the cost of cable. There's no contract and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com. The Cleveland Cavaliers are victorious in a prime time showdown against LeBron James, sweeping the LA Lakers. And joining me to discuss it is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
My brother, it is a cavalanche. This was a super fun game, super competitive. The Lakers, even without AD, did not go away in this one. There were even on the play-by-play call, you know, they were like, "Hey, it feels like the Cavs are in control of this game, but Lakers are only down two, or Lakers are up two." And they just kind of kept punching. They kept getting the Cavs in transition. Really, you know, played big despite losing AD. I thought Kevin Love having a bit of a rough game, and Mobley in foul trouble meant that the Lakers were able to assert themselves on the offensive boards, extend possessions. I thought they got huge performances out of a lot of their role players to stay in this one, but Donovan Mitchell shut that door there.
Donovan Mitchell was absolutely incredible. They asked him about it after the game, how it felt getting MVP chance in that building against LeBron James. And he talked about how it's weird, you know, as someone that grew up as a Cavs fan and certainly as a LeBron fan. We were talking about it earlier today, just how weird it is still to think that he was in college watching the Cavs win in 2016. But he was absolutely fantastic. And this is one of those nights that this is exactly why you go out and you get Donovan Mitchell, because he's someone that rises to the occasion. He has most of his best games when the lights are their brightest. And my stomach was doing somersaults, man. Like I felt tightness in my chest. I was nervous. You never feel like you're completely safe when you're playing against LeBron James, especially with being a one possession game throughout the fourth quarter. But the Cavs managed to kind of flip the script and turn it on when it mattered most. And I feel great. I wish Anthony Davis was healthy throughout this game, because I really felt like the Lakers playing as well as they had coming into this game would have been great from a measuring stick standpoint. But everyone else on that team really stepped up, and that team played really, really hard. And this was a game that the Cavs absolutely had to go out and earn.
It is certainly a different Lakers team than the one they played in LA earlier in the season, which seemed a little bit mentally broken at the time, you know, and I felt like the Cavs just kind of wore that Lakers team down late in the second half and kind of just put the clamps on them. And, you know, the Lakers didn't really have the spirit to fight back. I think even through the punches and the counter punches, Lakers never stopped fighting. I thought Thomas Bryant was awesome in this game. I was a big fan of that pickup. Part of the reason I was more optimistic on this team than most and looked especially stupid early on when they were a tire fire. But man, they just really, really knocked him out. I thought Donovan had his best game in a while. I think quietly, he'd been going through a, you know, I don't even want to say a slump because he's had really good games, but I think he's had a less than impressive stretch as compared to the, you know, his scalding hot start. I thought he wasn't getting to the rim as easily. He wasn't getting to his spots comfortably. And he looked so explosive tonight. He was hanging on every layup attempt, getting that extra, you know, quarter second of hang time when the other player was already on the way down to generate a good angle. The jumper was obviously there, but him as a finisher tonight and just his footwork across the board, like that little spin move he got on the catch on Austin Reeves on the nail was just a beautiful play. And, you know, that's like a Hakeem style post move is to hit that spin right off the catch. And he won this game for them tonight. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, he absolutely did. It's funny that he had so few points in his first 19 minutes out there. I believe he only had 5 points in his first 19. 3 points in his first 19, and then just completely exploded in the rest of those minutes. Jared Allen obviously was fantastic to start this game, and really great to have him back. I feel sometimes it's always tempting to kind of lean on narratives when discussing a long NBA season, but it feels appropriate in this instance because I really do feel like the Cavs exercise some demons here, playing against LeBron, winning in this fashion, because this is a game that wouldn't go their way in the past. The last time that they hosted LeBron in Cleveland last year, Jared Allen was out for that game. It was late in March, just one of those kind of frustrating games. But even in that one, they were leading after three quarters. They had a 1 point lead, and the Lakers went out and they won the fourth quarter 35-23. This night, the Cavs flipped the script and won the fourth quarter 31-19. This is just not what they've done in the past. And the broadcast mentioned it at one point, how Kevin Love and JB Bickerstaff talked about how sometimes they get a little too caught up in the moment in these kind of games, and that they're a more mature team now and they're ready to handle these moments. And I think, you know, stepping up in this way, understanding that you're on national TV, I believe this was the first TNT game in at least like 3, 4, 5 years. This is significant, and I think it's really good for the Cavs to win in the manner in which they did tonight.
Yeah. And it's not like all was gravy, you know. Our boy Ben in the chat mentioning that the jump shots still aren't really hitting in their last 10 games. He mentioned they're shooting 35% from outside of 10 feet. And you know, eye test matches that. I think in this game they still only shot 7 for 27. Darius was cold again.
26% from three.
Yeah, luckily the Lakers were even worse, going 6 of 36. But you know, like that's game plan right there. That's right out of the old Ty Lue book of saying, hey, we know that you are not great shooters and we're gonna just let you take them. Obviously, that's even worse than normal for them. But man, you look at the simple fact that Donovan Mitchell getting MVP chances in Romo Fijo while LeBron's in the building.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I ever expected to hear MVP, MVP, and it not be for LeBron while he's playing in that room.
Well, you haven't been paying attention the last couple of years because Jetty has got in on more than one occasion.
Well, that's a very good point.
But yeah, I mean, he was playing absolutely out of his mind, and I don't want to pivot this quickly off of him, but it really does show what an impact that Jared Allen has. And you look over the last few games that he's been out, and the Cavs have actually been fantastic on the defensive end of the court. In each of those games, they've been better than their season average. But it's been the offense that hasn't got going. And I think the presence of Jared Allen, like you saw, like the Lakers kept losing him off ball. And when you have talented passers like Donovan Mitchell, like Darius Garland, they're going to find him in those spots. And the way that he attacked the rim and the way that he opens things up from a spacing perspective. It's funny because you cycle in Jared Allen for Diakite, and Diakite is a better 3-point shooter than him. But the vertical spacing that Allen has, the way that he frees up guys to get to the rim, the attention that he draws off ball, all of that stuff makes things easier for Garland and Mitchell to operate. And I think that doesn't get talked about enough when we talk about spacing in the NBA, because so often it's just, what's the three-point percentages of every single player that's around those guys? Where when you have someone as intelligent as Jared Allen, that's an all-star, I believe he's still playing at an all-star level this year, when you have someone like that on the court, it makes life a lot easier, and you're able to have Donovan Mitchell go off for 43 points, Garland to have 21 and 11. I just think their lives are made so much easier by his presence.
Yeah, I mean, he's just awesome. There's no way around it. It's so nice to have JA back. I did, and you know, frankly, like, I was a little worried that we would get kind of a hobbled JA, you know, like, okay, Anthony Davis is coming to town, he's been trying to get healthy in time, and like, you know, maybe he would just try to gut it out, but man, he looked really, really explosive right off the jump, really comfortable, not just vertically, but moving his feet side to side. And man, I just can't ever stop going back to the degree to which the two big thing just changes everything. Even on nights where they're not perfect on defense, and I don't think they were perfect by any means, but like, no, you know, like this play in the fourth that I'm about to show, if you're watching on YouTube, where they're just scrambling and helping, and every time someone gets beaten off the dribble, one of the bigs was able to rotate out, you know, and close off the lane yet again until the Lakers make a mistake, get a turnover, and the Cavs go back and score. Like, that kind of identity really, really defines this team. And man, it's just so nice to see Jarrett back. He was so good to start this game. And I'm happy for him on a national platform like this, that it wasn't just a series of dunks. Like,
yeah,
he was hitting floaters, he was hitting 15 footers. And like, obviously he's not going to start every game 10 of 11. But like, just showing that he has a legitimate touch, is a legitimate offensive player. He is not just a garbage man play finisher that, you know, you can just scheme out if you pay good attention to him. No, he can kill you if he gets the ball with even a moderate advantage.
Yeah, and he's so intelligent off ball. Mo Dekeel highlighted one play where he was down in the dunker spot and Karis was driving baseline. And it's just the small little movement to go from the dunker spot, kind of circle to the middle of the key to allow that extra space. The help goes to Karis, and it gives him a better angle for that drop-off pass. Karis LeVert didn't shoot well in this game, but I thought he made a lot of smart passes in the game, particularly to Allen. But you're right, man. Like, the recoveries that the starting lineup made, the steals, the anticipation we saw, every single player in the Cavs starting lineup got a steal tonight, 10 total. Donovan Mitchell with four of them, Allen with three, Garland, Stevens, and Mobley with one apiece each. It was just really, really nice to see. And unfortunately, I think, you know, in the second half, they were beat up on the glass. They gave up a few too many second chance points. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me feel so good about this game, because there are a lot of things within it that I feel could have gone poorly, that could have been demoralizing. Not getting the calls you want at the rim, and just kind of a lack of
only free throws. 17 free throws. And I thought the Cavs played pretty physically in this one.
They did. They were getting to the rim, and a lot of those free throws kind of came in that fourth quarter, right? Like, you weren't getting the calls, and maybe you felt like less contact was being allowed on the other end. I certainly know that fifth foul on Mobley was one that I disagree with, but those are all moments where I think we've seen in the past the Cavs get a little flustered or a little overwhelmed. And I think it would have been understandable if that occurred, especially with kind of knowing how many eyes are on this game. But I thought they responded really, really well and fought through a lot of that adversity. And that's the kind of stuff that I think it is going to be most important to track for the rest of this year, because a lot of these losses, and in general, I kind of hate this as a sentiment, because I think people fail to give credit to the opponents too frequently when they talk about NBA basketball, but I really do feel like the Cavs in general, they're playing against themselves. We know that this is a really good team, and it's the decision-making, the consistency. Like, you and Jordan did a great job in the last podcast kind of highlighting some of the mistakes that they made. And I think tonight even, we saw passing up open shots for more contested shots, less than we saw against the Knicks. But the Cavs make lives a little too hard on themselves at times, especially when they get into a slump. And learning how to navigate kind of the ebbs and flows within a game is really, really important for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked about Dean, I talked about Jarrett in that podcast, and talked about like the steadiness that they provide. And I think that's something that the Cavs, you know, sorely miss. You know, you can have a little bit more variance from your players when you have Jarrett out there just being, you know, giving you the same thing every night, every night, every night. You know, I don't think the Cavs bench had a good game. You know, you look at the plus minuses, all the starters are at least plus 14. None of the bench players are better than minus 4, or other than, you know, the Diakite, and Okoro was minus 4 in his 10 minutes. And by the way, big three. Woo. Big three.
Cojones shot Isaac to tie up the game in the fourth quarter.
No kidding. But, you know, I think that someone who deserves a little shout out, despite, you know, this is, you know, I think sometimes I can be as guilty of any of being, you know, the box score analyst from time to time. I thought Lamar was really good tonight.
Yeah.
I thought he guarded really well. I thought he switched really well. And I think some of the times where they were getting burned on the boards, it was because he wasn't out there. They were going a little too small. You know, they were playing some stretches where Okoro was at the 4 and Mobley was at the 5, and Lakers got a couple extra second chance buckets out of it, especially with Mobley in foul trouble. So, you know, I thought Lamar just put in a real workmanlike effort tonight, just kind of being a little chaotic in the right ways and just ending possessions when that was a challenge that the Cavs had tonight. And yeah, man, it was just a really fun win. And it's nice, you know, I think that obviously, you know, if they don't go crazy in the fourth, and this is a 4-point win as opposed to a 14-point win. Yeah. Like maybe our rhetoric's a little less positive. And if you were frustrated watching that game, I guess I get it. But like, also, I thought the Lakers were playing pretty good. I thought they were playing really, really hard. You know, I think LeBron, even though he only had 4 assists, man, he has 17 boards. Like I think LeBron's rebounding is often a better indicator of his engagement in a game than most, you know, like, yeah. That's kind of a little thing you get when you watch far too much LeBron over the course of your life. I thought he was super engaged in this game on both ends. He only had 1 block and 1 steal, but I felt like he was a pretty impactful player on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I think the Lakers, you know, gave it as good as they got, you know, and sometimes that's going to happen. But I think the Cavs, you know, locked it down when it mattered.
Yeah.
Only 7 turnovers for the Cavs today, by the way. That's an encouraging sign.
That's very encouraging. I mean, especially on a game where you do give up some second chance points, you don't want to give additional like fast break points in addition to second chance points. So I think that that's really important, and it's a good thing to cite. And you're right, man. Like I think there are definitely things within this game that the Cavs are going to look at the film and say, hey, we could have done that better. We could have executed better. Obviously, the shot making wasn't yet at a high level, but this is what it's all about when it comes to an 82-game season, right? Like trying to find a way to win, trying to come away with the victory and overcome kind of those mistakes that you make within a game. And I just think that this was a really gutsy win. And I want to circle back to you mentioning just how good Allen looked after some time off. And that's one thing I've kind of noticed a few times, that when the Cavs are giving guys like a game or two off, they come back and you're not like, oh, should this guy really be out there? Like, I think the only exception really is Kevin Love, who's playing through some pain. The broadcast mentioned that it's expected that his fractured finger will heal by the end of the month, and that there's no extra damage he can do by playing with it right now. And obviously he's battling through some pain, but outside of that, like when it comes to maintenance on Jared Allen's back, or Donovan Mitchell rolls his ankle and he gets a night or two off, like these guys come back and they look themselves again. And I think that that's a really encouraging thing, because you kind of expect, hey, we've got four players that are all capable of playing at a really high level. If one of them needs a little bit of time off, we trust the rest of this team to step up, even though it's already kind of shorthanded to begin with. We expect the rest of the team to step up and to get wins. And I think they've had more than enough to win all these games, Knicks game included. I think the Knicks game came down to execution. I just don't think that they were sharp. And the one funny thing that you mentioned on that podcast was how it just doesn't seem like when Garland and Mitchell, if one of them's off, they're both off, which I guess you could spin it as they're both in sync and they're always on the same page. But in theory, you should have it where one of them, if the other one's off, the other one can step up. And I think we had a little bit of that tonight where Evan Mobley didn't have his best offensive game and Jared Allen ended up kind of picking up the slack and really came through with a dominant performance.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Yeah, I mean, I think Evan was a little, you know, it just wasn't his night. You know, I think LeBron is kind of a perfect defender for Evan at this stage of his career.
Yeah,
because LeBron's older and smarter and stronger. You know, like, and I think they were able to kind of use him as a help defender a lot, and he's big. You know, LeBron's a big dude. It's not like Evan has a big height advantage. So I thought he was fine. You know, he connected. He played he played solid defense. I think he got a couple rough whistles in this one. But yeah,
I couldn't believe the way guys were hitting contested shots against him. Like there were multiple times that I remember in the first quarter there was a Patrick Beverley corner three where Evan basically had his elbow at Beverly's nose and he still hit the shot. Like it was amazing. Some of the Lakers shot making tonight. And who knows, maybe those contested shots contributed to it feeling closer than it actually was. And I thought the Cavs actually had a very good defensive performance tonight. But yeah, I agree. Like I think overall he had a fine game. It's just one of those nights where, you know, you'd like to see him consistently part of the offense, right? And that's going to be one of the many things that they try to figure out over the course of the season, right? How can we keep Mobley involved? How can we keep touches going through him?
Yeah, he was a little invisible tonight. And that's, you know, at least on the offensive end. And that's fine. You know, I'm not super worried about it because they scored 116 points. Like, I do find it interesting that, like as long as I have a very utilitarian kind of belief system with this stuff, you know, like if the offense is efficient, then I'm pretty okay with the offense, you know. And
yeah,
the Cavs scored 116 points tonight, not playing unbelievably fast. And like it, that's enough to win on any given night. So like, yeah, obviously you can't always count on Donovan Mitchell going 17 of 27 and going absolutely bananas in the fourth. But like, I think you got enough from Evan, and obviously Jarrett's just bananas first half. And I do think the Lakers changed their guard, the way they were guarding in that second half, and that's part of the reason why Darius and Donnie were able to get a few more looks. I thought Darius came out really, really sharp. to start that third quarter. What do you think of what did you think of Darius's night tonight? He had 21 and 11, one turnover, 8 of 18 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. I thought he had a pretty darn good game. I felt like it wasn't like one of, you know, it wasn't by any means a master class. And, mm-hmm. you know, but a couple more of those threes come in. This is an even more lopsided game.
Yeah, I think this was one of the more Nash games that I can recall from him, just because it never felt like he was really forcing or pressing at any point. Like, he was just playing good team basketball. I mean, he was a big part of Jared Allen getting going in the first quarter, and then in the third quarter when the Cavs needed buckets, he answered quite a few Lakers baskets and had some good shot making, was big in the moments that they needed him. But this was just kind of a like a balanced floor general game from him. And I think that's what you want to see, right? Like, especially as this team gets a little bit healthier in that, like, it's on Darius to keep everybody involved, to keep the offense humming. And like you talk about how you're fine with it as long as the offense overall is working. And to me, Garland is the biggest part of that still. Like, I think he more than anyone needs to kind of recognize when he needs to provide them a spark with his own shooting, who hasn't got touches in a little bit, and get them touches to be in Donovan's ear and keep him going. Like, that's what you want to see, right? Like, that is the maturity process for a young point guard. And I thought he had a very good game. And yeah, I just don't have a lot of complaints. Like, I was going to have the stat ready and then I forgot to look it up beforehand, but I believe he is one of only 4 or 5 players with a usage rate over 25% and an assist to turnover ratio of over 2.5. Like, he's up there. Like, I know there's a lot of focus on his turnovers, but for a player with his usage, with his amount of responsibility, he does take good care of the basketball. And for him to go 11 assists and one turnover tonight, that just shows, you know, I think a lot of his turnovers, like the travel ones, are annoying. I will see if that point of emphasis continues throughout the season. But when he's being sharp with his passes, when he's playing with a purpose out there and he's not kind of making the lazy half effort pass to the wing that can sometimes get picked off, like, he takes very good care of the basketball. And I was very pleased with his effort overall tonight.
Yeah, I was too. What are we getting a little worried about the bench? They had, let's see here, 13, 16, 17, 19 points tonight. They're down to 26th in the league in bench scoring at 29.3. Mm-hmm. Jetty's slumping. Karras has been slumping. Kevin's been slumping. Isaac's been slumping. Are we worried? Or, like, are they putting too much on their starters to carry the scoring load right now? And, like, I'm not sure what the solution is other than, like, those dudes got to make more shots. But, like, what's your level of concern right now?
I am kind of putting a pin in it and just kind of, like, keeping my eye on it, because I think there was some natural regression that was going to occur there, right? Like, you look at the lineup data and all of the starters, even though they're a positive overall in that rating, the on-off splits were ridiculous. Like, every single one of them, they were the team has been better with them on the bench because the bench had been playing so well. And I think that there was some natural regression in there. The reason why I want to almost put a pin in this and at least keep an eye on it, but I do think it's fair for you to bring it up, and I think it's worth monitoring. But in general, the way that the rotation has worked is usually Donovan Mitchell, second unit point guard with Jared Allen out there. And obviously Jared Allen hasn't been there. And I'm curious to see, now that Allen's back and you could kind of have it where one of Mobley and Allen is at the five at all times, I'm interested to see, does that make life a little bit easier? Does the fact that they're at home over the net a lot for the rest of the month, does that make life easier for the bench? Because, I mean, some of this is going to be ebbs and flows, right? Like, we know Jetty Osmond's going to have cold streaks. He's going to have hot streaks, and you kind of live and die with that. Obviously, Kevin Love playing with a fractured thumb on his shooting hand is going to impact his performance, and he's a big part of when those bench units are at their best. But I'm curious to see, now that you kind of can stagger the starters a little more and they're all healthy when it comes to those four, if it makes life easier for the rest of the bench. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly worth noting. And I think it's fair to hope that you get a little bit more from Caris LeVert in these moments. You hope that maybe some time at home where there's going to be rest, there's going to be practice days can help these guys get back on track. But some of it, I think it's just kind of like, it's regression on both ends. Like the starting lineup of Garland, Mitchell, Stevens, Mobley, and Allen had been a mess. Like when you look at their net rating, like the defensive rating would have been bottom five in the league. And that's a lineup that those guys individually all are usually very good defensive ratings. And I think tonight I'd be very shocked if that's the case. Like I think Lamar was great. I think that lineup was awesome. And when
their plus minuses are, I mean, it's plus 14, plus 17, plus 21, plus 22, plus 21. So,
yeah. So I think that's a lot of the noise within that lineup data kind of coming back to earth. So you get the negative regression on one end and the positive regression on the other.
Here's my only argument why it's a concern. Because here's the reality. Like, if everything's working, the Cavs don't need much from their bench. They need a timely three from Okoro, a couple nice dishes from Caris, and they can score 116. The problem is games like the Knicks, when you have two or three of your primary point scorers either hurt or just having a weird game. You know, like, I think that one player has to, like, right now, at least one Cavs starter has to go kind of nuts. while every other bench player is slumping, especially just shooting, because it kind of has a layering effect where if Darius and Donnie's threes aren't working, then they have to go into the paint, and if the other role players can't shoot, the shots in the paint aren't there. So I do think that it is. It's been a long enough stretch that I'm a little concerned. As Ben in the comments mentioned, 10 straight games, 35% or worse, at 35% outside of 10 feet. I do think they got it. They got to figure out a way to get these guys going. Maybe not all of them, but just one or two of them. And all of a sudden this team goes from, you know, like it's just extra margin for error. Like, I think this team can certainly win with their players playing at their current level because their top four guys are so freaking good.
Yeah.
But, you know, like every good team needs the role players to hit open shots. I mean, look at the Lakers. I mean, how many games did the Lakers win this season? What is their record if they hit 3% more of their open threes? You know, they might have two or three more wins.
No, you're right. I think those are valid concerns. Fortunately, we don't have any concerns when it comes to our sponsor, Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
How did I do on the ad reads, Justin?
You did really
while
well.
You were gone.
I was pleased.
Just want to do you proud.
You made me proud. I was very happy with that. But before we move off that bench point, like I think you're right. Like I don't feel. Do you feel like the quality of looks are kind of
accept? No.
Like, do you think?
I think they're fine.
Yeah.
No, I think they're fine. I think they're generating good looks. I think there is missing a lot of them. You know, and like, and I'm not quite sure what the solve is. Mm-hmm. When guys are slumping, like. You could argue it might be something Kobe Altman needs to look at in terms of, like, you know, that final roster spot. Like, maybe you find someone on the market who's more of a knockdown shooter. You know, maybe you're exploring the trade market. But, like, also, like, we know Kevin Love's going to make threes. Yeah. So, like, I think it is, to some extent, you might just have to weather the storm. And maybe you win one or two less games than you would if guys didn't slump.
Yeah. No, you're right, and I think a prolonged kind of homestand is the perfect time to try to iron some of this out and to get into a rhythm, so hopefully they're able to do that, but yeah, like, it's not the most interesting analysis, but sometimes the answer is just, you know, play better, make your shots, right? Like, I think they have the talent to do so we'll see if they're able to do that.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com, C-Y-M-B-I-O. TIKA.com.
But I definitely think that that's a valid concern to bring up. Carter, I've got two concerns for you. My first concern, Anthony Davis leaving with the flu. I'm a fever after this game. I'm a little concerned because after we played the Lakers that were battling the flu last time we played them, you know, Garland was under the weather on that West Coast trip. Some of the other guys were under the weather and we had a slump. I'm concerned about that. But my more serious concern is Dean Wade being out for 3 to 4 weeks? Because I think we both agree. I think both of us were on the same page of on paper, Dean Wade kind of makes the most sense with the starters. And certainly Lamar Stevens was great tonight. And if Lamar continues to play well, he's going to continue to have that role. But I think what you want to see over the course of regular season, whether it's starting or not, I don't care, is more proof of concept, time to work together and try out a lot of different lineups. And to me, the fact that that lineup of Garland, Mitchell, Wade, Mobley, and Allen only having 6 minutes together and will likely only have 6 minutes together as we hit January just makes me feel a little less optimistic about the ability for this team to really find a groove. Because whether he's starting or not, I think that that's a lineup that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a lineup that allows you to play with some spacing as
certainly
well.
It's a closing type of lineup.
It's a closing type of lineup. And honestly, like I think in the modern NBA, like when you look at the Cavs D rating, I believe if they're not leading the league still, they're close to it. But that D rating is a lot higher than it's been in the past. Scoring's up across the league. And I think that's because just not a lot of teams have the personnel to play modern defense against these modern offenses. Like you really need to have two guys at all times that can rotate out to the perimeter, like two big men that can play defense on the perimeter, defend in space, and also rotate down to protect the rim. And when the Cavs have Dean Wade in the lineup, he's someone that can stagger with Mobley, with Allen, play defense on the perimeter, and he's also a really effective rim protector as well. And not having him in the lineup, like it just gives me a little bit of concern. Obviously, you're going to be fine, but when we're talking about the Cavs kind of achieving the goals we want to see from this season, it's that little stuff in the margins. It's figuring out the chemistry, figuring out a bunch of lineups that work, figuring out a bunch of audibles that you can call throughout a game to go to different lineups. And it's just disappointing to me that Dean Wade is going to miss time with the shoulder injury.
And frankly, for our transaction-minded friends, you know, it's harder to evaluate, you know, the urgency with which they need to look at maybe upgrading on the wing. You know, like if you can't evaluate all your players there, you don't know what you have and what you need. Now, here's the devil's advocate point. If there's ever a time for Isaac to earn his minutes in the rotation moving forward, it's now. If there was ever time for Karis to start getting back in the groove, it's right now. You know, so I think Lamar is the only one I won't mention because like Lamar, I feel like is such a known quantity.
Yeah.
You know, he's the anti Dylan Windler, who is the ultimate unknown quantity. You know, unfortunately not for things within his control, which is just, he's been hurt. Yeah. But like with Lamar, it's like, I kind of know what I've got with him and I'm comfortable with him. With Dean, it's figuring out, you know, are you like a pretty good 3-and-D guy that kind of really still is a four. Are we gonna find out we accidentally overexposed Dean when it matters? Like getting him those reps with Isaac, it's, you know, can the offense get there? Yeah. You know, and it's still been too up and down for him. So like those are the answers that I think Kobe needs to have to figure out what this roster needs, not just the rest of the year, but moving forward. So losing Dean for this stretch does make it harder to evaluate, does make it harder to figure out what lineups are going to be your playoff ass kickers, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of what I think a lot of the back half of the year is going to be. Obviously they're going to be jostling for seeding, but also you got to figure out like what's your regular, you know, who are your 82 game players and who are your 16 game players?
Yep. Yeah. And obviously some of that you're not going to find out until you're in the playoffs, right? Like I think we expect a fair amount of adversity when this team gets to the playoffs, just kind of off of how young they are, right? Like even looking at the teams that are currently atop the Eastern Conference, Boston and Milwaukee, like those are teams that their cores have been together for a while and we've seen them go through adversity. Like remember, like we played against Tatum and Brown in the playoffs with LeBron James, and like it only took until last year really for them to finally break through and get to the finals. And I say finally, and that's not like a knock on them, that's just kind of the life cycle of these teams, right? Like that is what was considered normal in the NBA. And I think with kind of the super teams getting thrown together, and obviously like the Cavs were one of them, or we just haven't seen a lot of kind of traditional team building breakthrough. And what Boston went through, what Milwaukee went through, like some of that's just experience, and you're not going to get that experience without being there. But I think the other
factor here, by the way, is that whoever they play in the first round is probably going to be awesome. like there's a real world chance they're playing Philly in the first round.
Ooh.
Or Brooklyn in the first round, or even Toronto, who has been up and down, chill, but has provided a tough matchup for this team. So whoever they play, it's going to be hard.
You just reminded me of something incredibly important that I almost forgot to do on this podcast. Carter, I need to rescind an apology.
I knew you were going to get here. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, this is all your fault, because Chris Fedor mentioned that Dean Wade was icing his shoulder after the Toronto game. We have no way of knowing that that occurred in that game or not. JB said it's something he's been dealing with for a while, but it's enough. It's enough of
just ignore that, aren't you?
It's enough of a hint for me to rescind my apology. I'm not going to levy accusations, but once again, my fear of playing Toronto because someone always gets hurt, it's back on the table, baby. So I'm going to stay responsible here. I'm not going to accuse them of anything.
You're not going to go full blame Canada on this one.
I'm not going to go full blame Canada on this one, but you know, it's once again back on the board. I'm keeping an eye on it, but you're right. Like it's disappointing to kind of lose time to examine one of the lineups that I think we'd like to see, but it is, the other side of that coin is it is a real opportunity for Okoro, for LeVert, and these other guys to get going. And I know I've said this before and I'm repeating myself, but this really does feel like the perfect time. Like the Cavs are going to have some rest. They have 2 days off in Cleveland before they play a back-to-back against the Kings and Thunder. That's an opportunity to get some practice and to get some reps, to iron out some of the things that haven't been going as well. And we'll see. We'll see if the bench is able to kind of get things together and contribute. But I think we can at least expect, hopefully, to see the three-point shooting kind of improve, because I think the Cavs are getting good looks.
Nothing helps a young team's three-point percentages like just being at home. Yeah. So, yeah, you hope that starts to kick back up. And, you know, Sacramento, Sacramento blew the doors off this Cavs team in Sacramento early in the year. They put up 127. It's one of the best offenses in the league. I really hope that the Cavs come out there with a real, with a real intent to try to lock down a very, very weaponized Sacramento team. Fourth in the league in offense right now. 116 points per 100 possessions.
Yeah, they are a dominant offensive team. They're a really good offensive team. That's going to be a good stress test for this Cavs team. And honestly, both of those games are going to be tough. Like, I know you look at OKC and you say, hey, they're at the top of the lottery every single year. But
11 and 13, nobody sucks. Just no one sucks in the league right now.
And like, Shea, it's crazy. Shea is playing, and this isn't my Canadian bias coming through. He's playing at a ridiculous level. Like, I think Lowe and Pelton both had him in their top five for MVP rankings when they were doing their way too early rankings for that, which I was a little disgusted that Giannis wasn't in the top five for either of them, but that's a subject for the Eurostep pod. But, you know, like, Shea is playing out of his mind. They just beat Atlanta the other night. Like, that's not going to be an easy win. Sacramento is one of the best offenses in the league. Like, this is going to be a real, real test. And I'm interested to see. We'll podcast after that Thunder game, after those two games, rare Saturday podcast. So if you're someone that watches this on YouTube, you'll want to get your notifications up so that you don't miss us going live after that game. But I'm going to be really interested to see how the Cavs approach both of those games offensive or on the defensive end, because they've played guards straight up. But Shea is kind of a different animal. You know, he's that 6'6 guard. Do they put Mitchell on him and see what happens there? Does Garland take the assignment? Do they shuffle Lamar down to put a physical body on him? Like, I find both of those games to be really interesting. And the benefit of no real bad teams being in the league right now is every single game is an opportunity to learn something about this team. And I certainly expect the Cavs to make some mistakes along the way, but this is a real opportunity for them to work through some of the issues that they've had and hopefully come away with two solid wins back-to-back at home.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this December being a big opportunity. They kind of fumbled the bag against the Knicks, but, you know, wins versus Orlando and Lakers, are good course corrections in the other way. So
yep.
We'll see what happens. But, you know, man, what a fun win tonight. It's so nice to be, you know, to have, you know, our new prize, our new star go nuts against against our old guy on national TV. It's hard to find a better, a more satisfying end result than the one we got tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we really exercise some demons this year, man. Like, it's one of those moments, like, anytime LeBron is playing in Cleveland, I think it's impossible not to kind of just reflect on everything, right? Because, like, both you and I grew up LeBron fans and Cavs fans, and like, that our formative years were watching LeBron play for our favorite team. And you know, it was part of the lore of being a Cavs fan that the only time we beat LeBron was that Baron Davis game, and to sweep him in a season is ridiculous, because there were times, like the last 2 years, there were times where you felt like you were going to get a win. We felt like we're going to get a win last year, leading in the fourth quarter, and LeBron turns it on and takes the game away from the Cavs. The bubble year, the year where he just manufactured a slight and found a way to go nuts and win that game. And for the Cavs to kind of flip the script, and for Donovan Mitchell, that star that you acquire, to step up in these moments, doing exactly that and getting the MVP chance, and Jared Allen playing his role perfectly, Garland playing his role as a floor general perfectly. Like, that's the exciting stuff. Like, the exciting thing with the Cavs is they're so good already, and there's still so many avenues internally that you can see, okay, this is where they can get better. This is where they can play better as a collective. And I'm just really fascinated by that process, because that's what you really want to find out throughout the course of a regular season.
Yes, sir. Go Cavs. We're doing it, buddy.
Nice addition.
Big well, thanks. I'm tired. It's over, brother. I already rapped. You should have thrown it back. This is on you.
You know what? That's fair. I always forget that you're on East Coast time as well. So that's on me, buddy. Sorry for that.
Yeah, I took it back. Let's audit what just happened here.
Yeah.
You're talking big picture. You're talking big picture and looking forward. And I respond to that, and then I take it back. We're at the 45 to 50 minute mark of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I take it back to the game tonight, putting a really nice bow on my contribution for the podcast to tee you up to take us home. And now it's my fault for not having more. That's on you, brother. That's on you.
Yeah, it might be on me. You know what? It's on you because you gave me the night off the last podcast. You were selfish enough to give me the night off. And for that reason, you made me a little rusty and I fumbled the bag. But you know what? I'll forgive you in time, Carter. It's okay. We'll be back Saturday. We'll iron this out. We'll improve. You can be better. Big thanks to everyone that stayed up.
I could never be better.
Big thanks to everyone that stayed up and listened on YouTube as well. Make sure that you like, subscribe, click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. Big thanks to everyone that listens via podcast. If you want to support the podcast, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Downs exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of the review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Canes.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.